Okay, welcome back. Let's get right to business. This is going to be a very important and illuminating and enlightening hour, and I think we're going to have a lot to be proud of from the two gentlemen here, especially from Wolfgang Halbig, who, along with others, have been so intensely interested in the Sandy Hook hoax, the fraud, what really happened there. Maybe we'll find out through the efforts of Wolfgang Halbig. I don't know. We'll hope. James Fetzer is with us as well. He made this possible tonight. I want to thank you, Jim. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Jeff. And Wolf was just magnificent today. It was rather a fascinating series of events, and I thought I'd sketch, you know, give an introduction that Wolf could fill in the details.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. And what we're talking about here, again, is an effort to go directly to the source to call it out. All right, Jim, please go ahead.
Well, we began by going to the United Way of Western Connecticut, Jeff, where Wolf wanted to inspect some of their records, which are publicly available as a matter of law. But what would ensue turned out to be quite surprising. Here's Wolf to fill you in.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hi, Wolf. Thank you so much for staying up late back there. We've got a lot of folks listening and really appreciate it. So, tell us what happened.
Everything that you're doing for us, and I hope that tonight that your listeners will get a chance to hear what we're really trying to do. You know, we're not trying to disrupt anybody. We just want answers, and the answers
are
truthful. And the one thing I've learned always is follow the money. And the one thing that we've learned up here in New Haven is that United Way Western Connecticut and Sandy Hook Promise, these people are collecting money, $29 million left and right from people from all across America, from all over the world because of Sandy Hook. So we wanted to go to United Way.
Uh-huh.
We wanted to go to United Way and just take a look at their records and see on how they've expended all of those funds. How did they spend it? And I want you to know there were 8 police units. They came flying in there with their lights and their sirens, and they blocked us from going inside United Way from inspecting those records. And we know that the IRS regulation says that any exempt organizations, you know, they have to make their records available to public inspections.
Yes, yes.
And I will tell you, they blocked us every way. They told us to get off their property, and I am telling you, that's not the way you treat people who are looking for information which should be available to the public.
Oh man. All right, let me back up. So you and Jim head over to the United Way headquarters for the area.
Danbury, Connecticut.
Okay, in Danbury.
Danbury, Connecticut.
How did the police know you were at the building or about to arrive at the building? Or were they called after you were there?
We actually arrived before they opened, Jeff, and we had, in addition to ourselves, several other supporters were with us, but especially Dave, the attorney that Wolf has been using from Nevada.
All right.
Who is a very, very good man, very civil. And,
yes.
And what Wolf had was quotations from the Attorney General of Connecticut explain how important it is that these foundations be responsible about their donations, that there be no fraud,
of course. How
important it is for the public to inspect them. So Wolf was citing to them the very words of their own Attorney General, but the police were adamant, and the fund did not want him in the building.
What was the attitude, Wolf, of the cops when they rolled up? Now, you're there
already. Well,
let me
tell you what. It was almost very contentious. I mean, like, in your face, you know. And
uh-huh.
It's like you're not welcomed here. And you know what? Here's the thing, Jeff, that we even did that your listeners need to know. I called United Way Western Connecticut no less than 10 times. I left messages telling them we're coming on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to come in, have a conversation. We'd like to look at the records, just as the IRS regulations say that we can do it.
You bet.
I called the CEO. Her name is Kim Morgan of the United Way. I let her know that we're coming. But they don't return phone calls. We have to leave messages because they don't answer their phone.
Mm-hmm.
They don't return calls. So even our attorney out of Hartford, Connecticut, Paul Spinella, wrote letters to the United Way Western Connecticut saying they are coming. Please make sure that you provide all of those records and make them available for inspection. Okay?
You wanted to find out where the $29 million was, where it went, how it was adjudicated, whatever.
Absolutely,
public
but
agency.
Think about this one, Jeff. This is the one that I really, it sort of touched my heart. Now, Jeff, I want you to visualize on December 14th, 2012, the national news, breaking news, shots mm-hmm. fired, elementary mm-hmm. school. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people remember that. I still remember it. And I saw CNN, breaking mm-hmm. news, breaking mm-hmm. news, shots fired, children hurt, children shot, children dead. I mean, I was stuck to the television. I couldn't leave it.
Of course.
Because I was that, golly, I was watching it because I just couldn't believe it. Now, here's what I have sitting here in my lap. Do you know that United Way Western Connecticut on December 14th wrote a press release? Now, who?
Two days later.
Who is writing a press release
on
the day that 20 children were shot and killed, supposedly, that six teachers were shot and killed, and somebody is sitting at United Way writing a press release? And not only are they doing that, Jeff,
mm-hmm.
they also created a partnership with a Newtown Savings Bank on how they can collect large sums of money, and they collected over $14 million.
When did they do that?
Who was doing this on the day of this massive shooting?
Yeah. When was the partnership created, Wolf, do you know?
On December 14th, 2012, the day of the shooting.
That's the odds against that happening randomly are virtually impossible.
Impossible.
Yeah. People don't, human beings don't think like that unless they're psychotic, mentally ill, and worse, conspirators.
Jeff, not only was Wolf quoting statements from the Attorney General of Connecticut about how important it is to ensure that these organizations are gathering donations, acting responsibly.
Yeah.
But his attorney, Dave Williams, was there to further argue the case. And nevertheless, they just created a wall of police to block it.
Well, this is America in the year 2014. Wow.
But there's one thing left, Jeff, that there's got to be one thing that's left for all of us Americans. There has got to be a way that we, if we ask questions, if they're reasonable, there ought to be a truthful answer.
You betcha. You've got questions. You've listed them. Jim Fetzer has had those in his articles. They're questions that demand to be answered. There's nothing outrageous about any of them. They're common sense, normal questions.
We've now also spent $10,000. And thank God we got great donors out there who are supporting this cause.
Mm-hmm.
Our attorney has now filed all of those FOI requests that you and I are talking about.
Yes.
And you know what? We still are not getting responses.
Not even a response. Nothing.
Nothing. It's like, you know what? It's like, we don't care what you think. We don't care what America thinks.
Yeah.
We're a new town. We're Sandy Hook. And you know what? We don't have to answer you.
The arrogance is off the scale.
Arrogance is unbelievable. What a great word.
This is, did anyone even come to the door and say, go away, boys?
Nobody. Nope. They I'm going to tell you what, they stuck their chest in our chest. I mean, they would not let us get to the front door to go in just to have a conversation. And you know what? It's simply a conversation. And guess what? The law says we can do it.
Of course it
does.
And
then you know what the police captain says? Well, you need to make an appointment to do this. And you know what? Our attorney said, you're not required to make an appointment. You can go any time to inspect public records. And if anybody, all your listeners, all you have to look up the IRS regulation mm-hmm. on nonprofits. We have a right to see how mm-hmm. when they solicit money,
mm-hmm.
when they're out there and they're chasing money left and right,
yep.
the public has a right to know how that money is being spent.
Absolutely. I personally don't like so-called charitable organizations like the United Way. I never have. I've done enough work over the years studying them, how they operate, the salaries they pay. They're just rife with corruption, most of them.
And they wouldn't even disclose that up here. And the other thing, you know, we asked, which is reasonable, can we get minutes of your nonprofit meetings? I mean, you know, they're getting grant money from the federal government up here. I mean, they collected, $29 million, and they say, nope, you're not going to get any of the minutes. You're not, you know, you're not allowed to look at what we talk about.
So we don't know where that money went.
The money.
We don't know where the money went.
No, they won't justify it.
How do we know it was $29 million? It could have been $39 or $49 million.
Well, that's what the Attorney General stated in his letter when he was reviewing. And the one thing that he demanded from both nonprofits, Jeff,
mm-hmm.
he demanded there be transparency,
mm-hmm.
that it be open to the public,
mm-hmm.
and because it's their money, and there should be not any false representation where that money goes and how it's spent.
Allegedly, James Fetzer, what is your understanding of where this money is supposed to be parsed out? Who's supposed to get it, and how are those determinations supposedly?
Well, my understanding, Jeff, is it's supposed to go to the families of the victims, you know, the survivors,
right.
as it were.
Yes.
To give them forms of, well, not exactly compensation, but of support for those who were suffered so much pain.
So about $1 million a family.
Yeah, but the irony is, of course, you know, that actually we have all kinds of footage of these parents' interviews and everything else, and they're not showing any pain or grief at all.
I'll never forget those.
They're cheerful, smiling, in some cases on television with Anderson Cooper. They're flirting. I mean, if you contrasted the real pain, the real grief, say, for those who lost relatives or friends aboard Flight 370, that Malaysian plane,
yeah.
you just see the grief is palpable. But in the case of the Sandy Hook appearance, I mean, even Robbie Parker coming out for a press conference is laughing as he steps out the door until he sees the reporters there. And then he stops and, you know, does a deep inhaling to get himself into character and then tries to act as though he's grief-stricken. I mean, the fraudulent aspects of this thing, Jeff, are just overwhelming.
They are overwhelming. Now, what is the most horrific thing, ladies and gentlemen, that can happen to a family, is to use the term, I guess, that they would lose a loved one. But in this case, in Flight 370, many families lost adult loved ones, fathers, brothers, sisters, cousins, you name it. These people have at least had a chance to live a reasonable life in some cases. Somebody's 40, 45 years old, 50 years old. When you take the life of a child, the grief has got to be even worse. I how do you quantify and qualify grief? I don't know, but these families that lost these kids were 6, 5, 6, 7 years of age, I guess, supposedly. How do you even begin to stand up and talk to a microphone a day or two with video cameras in your face? A day or two after your beautiful little girl or your little boy has supposedly been shot to pieces. It doesn't work for me.
And Jeff, you know, the other thing you're going to find out when we talk about this flight and how the parents are grieving, now you're going to watch how many lawsuits are going to be filed, okay?
Oh, yeah.
We're up here in Newtown, Sandy Hook. As tonight, not one parent who lost their child has filed a lawsuit against the school board, against the Danbury Police Department, against the Connecticut State Police, the Newtown Police Department. Not one lawsuit has been filed. That's unheard of.
You mentioned that last time you were on the program. It is not just unheard of. It's not human.
It's practically un-American, Jeff.
In this litigious society, come on. People file lawsuits every day for things that have no basis or merit at all.
Well, you know, the one I always like is the person who gets burned with a hot cup of coffee at McDonald's, you know?
Oh, yes.
Here, a parent loses a precious child and not one lawsuit filed by any one of the parents or loved ones.
Well, that then, right in of itself, tells you the story, folks. There's something wrong at Newtown. Something wrong at Sandy Hook. Big time.
You're absolutely right, Jeff. And each of the places we went, there were forms of resistance or response or non-response that were very telling. I mean, here you have this United Way entity that ought to be open to inspection, ought to welcome us and say, of course, we want you to understand that we're being responsible with the money.
That's right.
When we were rebuffed there, we went to the Newtown Police Department because Wolf had been notified that if we were ever in the vicinity, they wanted us to check in. Wait till you hear what happened there.
Let me say one other thing about United Way.
Newtown Police Chief sent police officers to my house on the second trip.
Yeah.
I mean, they demanded to know when I'm coming to Newtown, okay?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We went to Newtown Police Department as a courtesy, which I think is proper. We asked to speak to Chief Kehoe, Captain Rios, or Lieutenant Cinco. Each of them, they were in the building, but they refused to meet with us. They sent out a sergeant. And I simply said, hey, look, our attorney, Jim Fetzer, and I, we're here. We're not here to cause a problem, disturbance. We don't want to offend anybody. We just want to say we're here. We're checking in. We want to make sure you guys know that we're in town, that we're not protesting. We're not going to disrupt anything. But I'm also concerned about our safety, and I want to make sure you guys take care of us. Because, you know, the Newtown Bee editor, he called me and he told me that, but I'm not welcome. Do not come to Newtown. Now, this is the editor of a newspaper, the Newtown Bee, and he tells me, do not. We know who you are. You're just a troublemaker. You know, don't come up here. We don't need you. And I mean, it's almost like threatening.
So, he's a thug. That's thuggery. This is not a journalist. That's not journalism. He should have asked you to come by the paper to give him an interview if he was a journalist, for goodness sakes.
I wanted to go by and say, look, Jim Fetzer and I are here. We just want to talk a little bit. You have a conversation.
Absolutely, of course.
Yeah, but guess what? The Newtown Bee did show up at the school board meeting tonight. And I mean, did they take pictures? Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to get there. Look, if you just joined us, we're talking to James Fetzer and Wolfgang Halbig. Wolf, of course, leading the charge for all of us who care about what really happened at Sandy Hook Elementary. We're going to find out if there's any human way to do it on the shoulders of this man. Jim Fetzer has been there every step of the way, writing about this, helping publicize it. I want to say one other thing about United Way. I hope I'm sorry to say it, but I don't think any of you listening should give a dime to these people, any of them, until they hold that chapter accountable and they produce some answers. Had they come forth with the documents, they might have gotten more money for the families, right? This is not how you conduct business if you're a charitable organization with your hand out. That really makes me angry. And
now,
the police...
Jeff,
go ahead.
Jeff, I got to share this with your listeners, too. You know, it's not that Jim Fetzer and I are up here trying to find the truth. You know, when this thing unfolded, you know, at Sandy Hook, I actually wrote a check. And I contributed as my family to the fund, to the Sandy Hook fund. I donated money because we believed it was real. So I have a vested interest. So I'm looking for the truth.
Yeah, well, I think this should be taken to the highest level of the United Way, obviously. And if you have to sue them, sue them. If your attorney will go for it, good. I'm just so sick of this country and its infrastructure that is now so rotten to the core that it would treat you like this. And the police, shame on the police, shame. And you're a former police officer, Wolf, for goodness sakes. And they know it. They know all about you. So.
Oh, they knew we were coming.
Yeah.
You know, before we got to Newtown, Jeff, the Danbury Police Department put the Newtown Police Department on notice that we were coming and we're nothing but troublemakers.
To serve and protect, right?
Yep. Boy.
Sounds like the Gestapo
to me. Oh, and by the time
we
got to the Newtown Police Department, they'd already heard from the Danbury Police, Jeff. They already knew all about it.
Oh, unreal. Unreal.
So we had a very nice lunch, and then we headed out for the school area.
Uh-huh.
And the firehouse, very interesting developments there you're about to hear from Wolf.
Well, you know, the Sandy Hook Volunteer Fire Department is only like maybe 350 yards from the front door of the Sandy Hook Elementary School.
Which used to be there.
Mm-hmm. Which used to be there. But you know what? Again, I think being a former police officer and customs agent, I learned about respect. I learned about putting people on notice, let them know, make sure they're comfortable. We went to the Sandy Hook Firehouse, okay, just to find out if they conducted the fire inspection at Sandy Hook for the last 3 years.
Uh-huh.
I went in asking for Chief Halstead.
Yeah.
And we met some volunteer firefighter in the back of the firehouse. He said, well, he's not here. You need to come back in an hour. And I want you to know, we simply ask a question. Did you inspect the school fire inspection? And then he said, oh, you're that old police officer from Florida. You're that geek. You know, you're that, I mean, call me a troublemaker. So, you know, we left. He said, this is private property. You need to get off. We left. We had lunch. I came back an hour later. I saw the fire truck. I mean, I saw an SUV out there. Had fire marshal on it.
Right.
The bay door was open, which wasn't open before.
Mm-hmm.
So I was assuming that the chief had arrived because we waited an hour, just like you told us.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know, Jeff, we stepped up. I was right at the bay door, and I saw this big guy out that I never seen before, very professional looking, very sharp.
Mm-hmm.
I said, are you Chief Halstead? And he looked at me, and he said, no, I'm not. And all of a sudden, you know, the fireman we talked about before, he comes running out behind the guy. And I mean, he shoves me in my chest.
He touched you?
The F word.
He touched you?
He assaulted me. He battered me. He assaulted me. He got in my face, used the F word like you would. It was nonstop. And so we did file a criminal complaint.
You made the cops take a complaint?
Yes, we did. Because I tell
you
what, nobody should ever, ever put their hands on a visitor who's simply asking, did you make the fire inspection? I mean, this guy was, you talk about mental health issues.
Yeah,
that
I hear
guy
you.
Needs to have an evaluation.
I
but
totally
for him
agree.
To shove me and put both of his hands in my chest,
yeah.
And I actually demonstrated to one of the police sergeants exactly how he did it, and the police sergeant didn't appreciate it. But I think it was important for the policeman to know what it felt like.
Amazing.
Well, and Jeff get this, we got the whole thing really on tape, too. Because we're filming everywhere we go.
Good.
And I was a witness to it. So they had me give a sworn statement about it. And they took the video to check it out. I mean, it's Wolf's feeling was just that this has gone far enough. They're not only being uncooperative, they're being more than
committing crimes.
In this case, the guy was a hothead.
Yeah, well, this is an assault case, clearly. Todd, we're going to go through this break. I want to get this hour as full as I can with this very special information. Now, the video that you were able to record, where is it now?
We have it in our possession now.
Okay.
We have a camera team here.
Okay, good. All right. I just want to make sure they didn't take it from you somehow.
Well, no, we made sure not to do that. We let them view it, but we kept it in our possession.
Got it. All right. Excellent. Okay, well, we've got an assault. We have a verbal.
Well, it's not just assault. Assault and battery.
I was going to say.
Assault is just making a threat. Battery is when you put your hands on somebody.
You touch somebody. You got assault. You got assault and battery. You got verbal terrorism. You got some other things, I'm sure. That guy is a, what an ape. What a moron. Oh, I don't want to insult apes. Excuse me. What an imbecile.
But can you imagine he worked for a fire department? I mean, he's in a fire department.
No,
he's
I can't
supposed to
imagine.
Be professional.
Yeah, no. You know, and the thing of it, James Fetzer is about Wolf is that from the beginning, he has conducted himself impeccably with courtesy, with respect, with intelligence. Never has he stepped out of line for one moment. That I'm aware of.
Jeff,
you
got that
imagine.
So right. And even under this provocation, Wolf was simply trying to instruct him in how he ought to react to other parties, you know.
Absolutely.
That he should not be using this offensive language and obviously shouldn't be using physical force. And he deported himself with aplomb.
Do you have now, since it filed charges, theoretically, there should be a hearing, and in the hearing, maybe you can get some some questions in there. This will be interesting on the record.
Well, Jeff, we're making a documentary out of the whole visit, and it's got all these very interesting episodes where, you know, I mean, you got the United Way resisting, you got the police, Newtown police resisting, you got the fire department resisting. We had no resistance, however, when we got up in an elevated area and were able to look over the fence to see the area where the Sandy Hook Elementary School had previously stood. So we did get some visuals there. And, of course, the destruction of the school was unusual in any number of respects, including, of course, that those who participated had to take a lifetime gag order to never talk about anything they saw or did not see.
Ladies and gentlemen, think about that. You're running heavy equipment. You're knocking down a cinder block and wood school. You're driving trucks, hauling it away. You have to sign a lifetime guarantee that you will never talk about it. This is what country is this?
And Jeff, I'm convinced this because there weren't any, bullet hole marks in the walls from a high velocity weapon. And there wasn't any blood on the floor. I'm convinced that is what they wanted to suppress. While we have seen some photographs from inside the building that have little tweaks in the wall, they're the sort of thing that could be made with a screwdriver. These are not the result of a high-velocity round having hit the wall.
223, correct, wouldn't it? Or handgun, at least.
There were 153 shots fired.
What were they all fired from, allegedly?
They say it was a .223 Bushmaster rifle.
Yeah.
And he used his own handgun to commit suicide.
A .223 is going to rip the hell out of that building. Anyway, all right. Okay. Onward. Next.
Well, yes, because this did have we were heading toward the main event, which, of course, was to speak before the Newtown School Board.
Yes.
Which had been, I'm convinced, deeply involved in all of these events, has to know that the whole event was a charade and that children did not die there. But you wouldn't know from their countenance when we finally had the opportunity to speak before them.
Okay, let's go into that.
Well, Wolf was the first to speak. Actually, there were seven who spoke critical about Sandy Hook, and then at the end they had a local resident say how actually the community handled everything perfectly. So I thought Wolf gave an excellent statement. Here, I'll invite him to give a summary.
Okay.
Well, Jeff, the event is before the 7:30 board meeting. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a person that traveled all the way from New York, and he was dressed up as a patriot. He really believes in the Second Amendment. I mean, I cannot tell you how professionally he looked, how professionally he conducted himself. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know, law enforcement and the director of zoning, I mean, told him, get off the property, take your stuff over there. You're not allowed to be here. You know, I mean, and our attorney, Dave Williams, okay, who's a constitutional lawyer, I mean, he let them know that he has a right to be where exactly he is. He doesn't need to move, and that the Constitution actually supersedes an ordinance. The guy couldn't get it. He's the director for planning and zoning, and our attorney had to teach him that the Constitution overrides a city ordinance.
Yeah.
I mean, you would not believe how, and are you ready for this? They wouldn't let us in until 7:30. Unheard of. They locked the doors and would not let us have entry till 7:30.
The conspiracy that is obviously in place runs from one end of this community to the other at the highest levels.
Well, Jeff, I think that's exactly right. I mean, it's fairly dumbfounding, but everywhere we turned, we found this resistance.
Yeah.
That was really what was most instructive about our visit, is that no one was displaying the kind of cooperation or the ordinary amenities that you would expect if everything were on the level. I was quite struck by the entire development of the day. It was fascinating from that point of view.
Uniform hostility and resistance is the key word. This was, these people were certainly rehearsed. They were talked to. They all understand. They're playing their roles. So what happened when you gave your speech to the school board, Wolf?
Well, Jeff, you know, each of us, you know, during the public input, you're allowed to have 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And my basic comment was, I told them a little about my background. And for 11 months, I told them that Wolfgang Halbig would never be here, okay? For 11 months, all I've asked is for them to respond to the Connecticut FOIA request, Freedom mm-hmm. of Information Act.
Mm-hmm.
For 11 months, I asked them to return phone calls. I said, board members, I've written each one of you. I've sent emails to each one of you. I've called each one of you. And even, I don't know if you guys actually remember, but after 2 days after the incident, I actually called the superintendent's office, Janet Robinson, and as a national school safety expert, I offered to come up and help in any way possible. Would you think they call me back? Absolutely not. Jeff,
wow.
I have done everything professionally
mm-hmm.
that I could want to
mm-hmm.
help. I donated mm-hmm. money, and yet they refused for 11 months. They do not respond. But guess what? They do send police officers to my house to tell me
you.
That if I ask another question, they're yeah. going to arrest me. Now, there's something wrong with that picture.
There's something bad wrong with this whole damn thing. When you gave your statement, was there... And yeah, I'm sure you were looking at there being a former law enforcement officer, and with your background in school safety, you got to be looking at these people. What do their faces look like to you?
Well, they're very stoic. I mean, be honest with you, it's like they practice this thing. I mean, you could not mm-hmm. see an eye blink, you could not see them
uh-huh.
move.
Uh huh.
And I mean, I try to look at each one of them. I try to scan the room, make sure I have eye contact with each one of them.
Got
Even
it.
The brand new school superintendent,
mm-hmm.
there wasn't a smile, there wasn't anything. I mean, it's just like talking to a wall.
Zombies.
They had clearly adopted the tactic of stony silence as their
yeah.
only mode of response.
Sure.
They weren't
going to
acknowledge anything, answer any question, give any information.
They were rehearsed.
They were
going to
be completely like a panel of paralyzed persons who were incapable of rational discourse. Nothing came from them, Jeff, and it's clear it was a studied, a deliberate stance that they adopted.
Sure, sure.
But we got a lot of points there, and there was a lot of coverage. I mean, there was an NBC, local NBC outlet. There was
the Danbury newspaper. You had the Newtown Bee.
The Newtown Bee. We had InfoWars was there. And several others, as well as, of course, putting together our own piece. I spoke after Wolf
mm-hmm.
and explained I was a former Marine Corps officer, a retired university professor,
mm-hmm.
and a journalist for Veterans Today, and that in the process of my research, I discovered that the Sandy Hook Elementary was an outstanding school that scored 10 on a 10-point scale. It was a K-4 school with 626 students. And I observed that if you subtract 20, the number who died, from 626, you're left with 606 students. Where were they, I asked. I mean, we don't have any footage that shows this mass evacuation of over or around 600 students. And that if you were to do this in terms of buses, if you assume each bus would handle about 50 students, that would have been 12 buses. You can look through all the footage you want, and you're not going to find buses or 600 students.
No, that's
I
amazing.
Added that, you know, that's... some of the reasons why questions have arisen include that.
Mm-hmm.
The final report coming from the Connecticut State Police does not include the names or the ages or the sex of the alleged victims, how the Attorney General himself had tried to thwart the release of the 911 calls, how the state legislature had recommended making an e-felony for any state employee who talks about Sandy Hook other than through Freedom of Information Act requests.
Yeah.
And how the Newtown clerk had entered into secret negotiations with the legislature to avoid releasing death certificates. I continue then to point out that the 1010 meant they had to have a clean bill of health internally and externally, but yet after the event, the Newtown Bee had published an article explaining it would be difficult to refurbish the school because it was loaded with asbestos and biohazards, which caused me to ask, when were the parents notified that their students were
mm-hmm.
Being taught in a toxic waste dump,
mm-hmm.
that no children should mm-hmm. have been there?
Correct.
I added that this event had terrified parents and children all across America, and that we were here looking for the truth.
And all this time, stoic silence.
Stoic, not a eye blink.
That's amazing.
And five others spoke after us before they had clearly, I think, arranged to have this young man come up and say, actually, Sandy Hook had done it all just the right way. They should have done it. Nothing was wrong.
Oh, of course. Yeah. All right. What's next? What happens next?
Well, get this, Jeff. Even after we had left, having had our opportunity to say our piece, we conducted many interviews outside, which were, more animated than in the more
restrained
confines of the formal board setting. So quite a few interviews were given. Wolf gave at least two more that I thought were simply super. And I had the opportunity to do yet another with the InfoWars reporter.
Who else was in the building, in the room? Were there parents there?
None of the parents were there, period.
No parents at all. No parents at all.
And, I don't know, with all the reporters and coverage, there were probably 50 or 60 people in the room, I would estimate.
Uh-huh. But no parents. Big school
But no parents.
Meeting.
And I think that, that fits because, if you're actually not a legitimate parent, if this was a fraudulent effort, then why would you want to be exposed to those who are explaining how you can tell that this wasn't a real event?
Yeah, well, I'm not even talking about the alleged victim's parents. I'm talking about any parents of children at that school.
Right. And Jeff, I think every one of you listeners tonight, after hopefully hearing our conversation with you, they need to ask themselves the question, how did you learn about Sandy Hook? Is it that you learned it by watching the national news and you were brainwashed by them pounding you with it 24/7? And then because you let your emotions and your empathy, because the children and the family kick in? If the national news media was your only outlet on determining whether it was real or not, we have a serious problem. And I hope radio, like your program, reaches out and ask every one of your listeners, open your eyes, open your heart. Because you don't want something like this. You don't want the government ever to come to your community and try to pull a big illusion like this. This is unforgiving. And trying to take our guns away. I mean, think about it.
Well, of course, this was just another
nexus for laws now being passed. Connecticut is your best example.
Mm-hmm.
Every time, gun laws, Sandy Hook, take those guns away. Well, you're messing with the Second Amendment.
Of course.
Because of Sandy Hook?
Now, I saw a story, Jim, yesterday or the day before, that said, and I believe it was Missouri, has agreed that there will be a constitutional convention, and that's the 34th state that was necessary for the calling of a con, as they call it. We don't need a constitutional convention. We know what's going to happen there. We know who will be there and who will try to use it to abuse our heritage and to set our future down the wrong path. I hope there's more to it than that. We'll see. But a constitutional convention is not what we need. Now, let me ask again.
Yeah, well, I think you're right, Jeff. What we need is the enforcement of the Constitution itself by a non-politicized judiciary and a Department of Justice that is not abiding by corrupt principles or promoting deceit and deception, but actually trying to bring those responsible for crimes to justice, of which very little is done these days.
If there is a constitutional convention, ladies and gentlemen, the entire Constitution could be rewritten. All right? Keep that in mind. So,
and it will affect all their children, their children's children, their grandchildren.
Well, it changes America.
It will have such a direct impact across America.
It can't
happen. We can't allow it. This is our America. Hey, government works for us. We don't work for the government. And somehow they have forgotten that.
Well, so have the Newtown police.
Obviously, yes.
So has the Newtown Bee editor. A great bastion of journalism that paper isn't. I'm really disgusted by what I'm hearing.
The Newtown Bee, of course, performed the absurdity of quoting the principal, the school principal, Don Hofspring, as reporting that there was a shooter in the building, that shots were going on, that she was very troubled with what was taking place, and yet the official account would have it that she was among the very first killed.
Dead, yeah.
So that the Newtown Bee was, you know, had got ahead of the script or had the wrong script or didn't get it right, and they published the absurd explanation that someone had called in impersonating the principal at the very same time these actual events were taking place. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, that's grim. That's very, very grim. Did you meet anyone?
Jeff, what was most fascinating about this is if you think of it as a litmus test, in each of these cases, you've got the United Way, you've got the Newtown Police, you've got the Fire Department, you've got the Board of Education.
Yeah.
Every one of them reacted the way you would expect them to react if they had something to cover up. Not one of them reacted the way you would expect them to react if they had nothing to conceal.
That's a conspiracy to conceal and hide and obfuscate justice. There may be federal issues here, federal lawsuits. Wolfgang, it sounds to me like you've got obstruction of justice here.
Well, and you know what? And our attorney, he's a constitutional lawyer, and thank God he was here today because he did a great job. I cannot tell you. I wish you could have met him. I think you could have watched him in action.
I mean,
he gave a lesson on constitutional law, and he says, Wolfgang, what America and every listener across this country needs to know, we can find out the truth, but it's going to cost some money. We're going to have to go take him into the courts. We're going to have to file civil actions. And guess what? It can happen. If the United Way can collect $29 million and you refuse to tell us where it went and who got what, by God, it's time to file lawsuits against these nonprofit companies, and they need to be held accountable.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree. I told you earlier, I've never liked them. I once did a study on how they pay themselves, where the money really goes, what small percentage of it actually goes to the alleged services and needy that are earmarked for support. It's embarrassingly small sometimes. Okay.
Now, Jeff, it depends in many ways what is being broadcast, what comes out on InfoWars or on TV reports or newspaper about this event. But perhaps even most importantly is that we're producing a documentary based upon our experience, which is going to be, you know, the lesson of Sandy Hook is revealed by these four types of encounter.
Oh, it's going to be stunning. I hope you can get it together soon. We'll be here to promote it as much as possible, of course. I can't wait to see it.
Jeff, I'll just tell you, you know, I have, having been here with Wolf, and it's the first time that he and I met each other in person, I'm convinced of his integrity and his dedication and that he knows what to do with any funds that are donated to him. They're going to go for a worthy cause to promote truth and justice about Sandy Hook, and that he's got an excellent attorney in Day Williams. In fact, he has a second attorney right here in Connecticut. And I just want everyone out there in the listening audience to understand that this is a good, decent, honorable man who's doing the right thing. And this kind of person is very rare, as you well know.
Well, if anyone listening can't hear it, they're deaf. Where do we tell people to go to donate? That's the easiest thing I can put on the table.
It's very simple. www.sandyhookjustice.com.
Okay.
www.sandyhookjustice.com. And guess what? Follow us every day. We just don't want your money. We want you to be part of this. We want you to be part of finding the truth. And you know what? And that's what will make your contribution even better, is the fact that you're going to change history. We're going to find the truth, but you're going to make it happen. You know what, Jeff? We wouldn't be here tonight have you not helped us. I know that your listeners donated money. But if it wasn't for you, if it wasn't American Free Press, if it wasn't for Alex Jones, we could have never, ever made this trip. So the listeners need to know, yes, you do make a difference, but hold us accountable, and you deserve the truth.
Well, America deserves the truth. America is in a terrible, terrible shape right now. We're in the hands of abject evil. This government is no longer a government of, by, or for the people. It's of, by, and for the corporatocracy, as you well know. This has got to be, this is our chance, this may be our last chance, to break this thing down. It's got to be broken and taken apart and examined under the light of truth and reality. SandyHookJustice.com. And even if you can just send $5, ladies and gentlemen, let's support this brave man, Wolfgang Halbig, and James Fetzer right there every step of the way, and let's make these people be held accountable. This is outrageous. It sounds like a B-movie, some lousy small-town conspiracy of thugs who have pulled off something ugly and evil, and they've all worked together to put up this stone wall. It
just think
stinks.
How these organizations and entities would have responded if they were on the level.
Exactly.
Jeff, if they didn't have things to hide, the United Way would have welcomed Wolf in and said, here are the records, check them out, because we want to make sure we're responsible in the way we handle the money that's been contributed. The police officers, Wolf wanted to talk with the five highest ranking officers there at the Newtown Police, and although they were all physically present, none of them was willing to come out and talk with Wolfgang Halbig, even though he's a former Florida State Trooper. And when we got to the firehouse, my goodness, the firehouse was the major scene of activity. It wasn't actually the school. It was a firehouse. And yet this guy was belligerent. He was threatening. He was very aggressive. Well, Wolf stood his ground. But, I mean, it was really a demonstration of patience and restraint on his part. And then the school board. I mean, point after point after point was made that would give pause to any rational mind, and yet they sat there stone-faced, nothing of relevance was taking place whatsoever. I mean, you know, frankly, in some ways, the members of that community ought to be embarrassed by the role of that school board.
What a stupid, poor performance. They could have come up with a program where they at least tried to con you guys. You wouldn't have fallen for it, but they could have pretended to be interested and, well, how can we help you? And dumb.
But,
all I hear is dumb.
But Jeff, it's even easier than that. Are you ready? Answer the 16 questions.
That's all.
We'll disappear.
Yeah. Yeah.
11 months, 16 simple questions that you'll see on our website, SandyHookJustice.com. Look at the 16 questions. All they have to do is answer it, and guess what? Wolfgang Halbig disappears. Hey, we're gone. But because they can't answer it, they've refused to answer it, guess what? There are serious problems, and America needs to know the truth.
Well, if there is any way to get to the truth, you're going to get there.
There is a way to get there. I promise you, there is a way. But it's going to have to be the legal process, and that's not what they're expecting here. See, they're expecting that America doesn't really care. See, I see it in their faces. They think America doesn't care about this, that it's going to go away over time. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They've got $100 million. You know what? But we're not going to go away until they answer the questions.
And, Jeff, the case for Sandy Hook fraud has taken a whole new direction, because the FBI report has finally been released, and Jeff, it's got more holes than Swiss cheese. It's almost completely redacted. It's embarrassing to look at and think.
Really?
A document coming from the American government. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Shameful.
Uh-huh. I haven't
I'll
seen
send
this.
You a sample page, Jeff. You won't
unbelievable.
Believe it.
All right. What's the timeline for the documentary approximately?
Well, that's a good guess. I'll have to consult our filmmakers on how soon they might
they
be able
to, be able
put
to get this
together,
done.
But we hope it will be within the next few weeks.
It should be a couple of weeks. They should be able to knock this out.
Unlike other groups, Jeff, we have boots on the ground. We're here.
Yeah.
Some can speculate or talk about it, but we actually are coming up to interact with the individuals and the groups who are involved in the charade, and we're going to do our best to drive it home and get out the truth for the benefit of the American people. We deserve to know what happened.
We do.
At Sandy Hook. And remember, that's what drove Wolfgang Halbig in the beginning as a national safety, school safety expert. He just wanted to know what happened at Sandy Hook so he could make sure it wouldn't happen anywhere else in America again.
And if anyone should have had all the information handed to him, it would have been Wolfgang. He's the guy. He goes and talks. He sets up policy and procedure and protocol. He's got to know about what happened there. This is all so despicable. I thank God for both of you people and the others who are there in support of you.
I thank God that you're there, Jeff, because you know what? Your voice will resonate, and your voice reaches your listeners. People trust you. They believe you. And you just giving us the opportunity to be part of your program. No, thank God for you, because the message would never get out.
Well, I'm here any time at all. Wolfgang, thank you. Bless you. Take care. And we'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
And Jim Fetzer, thank you for being who you are and for making this possible tonight. I appreciate it. I'll be here to help in any way I can. You know,
we're so much in your debt, Jeff. Thanks so much.
Okay. Good night, gentlemen. All right. If that didn't make you mad, folks, we're being conned here. It's got to stop. If we don't take this opportunity and bring this at least local government to its knees, it's over. We have a chance. We've got the leadership. We can raise the money. Let's do it. SandyHookJustice.com. Okay, that's our program tonight. We'll be back tomorrow.